Good Friday. Today is May the 9th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, we are in the month of May, and a lot of things to talk about in the backyard and garden, including the hatching of different insect pests, also some of the blooming flowers, and better care for your strawberries. We're going to talk about that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Friday morning taking a look out in the backyard and garden. One of the topics that we've covered in the past dealt with spotted lanternfly eggs and being able to identify those and disrupt those before they hatch. Well, the time has come in southern Ohio and is quickly moving into northern Ohio now when those eggs are hatching. The nymphs are a whitish color when they hatch, but quickly turn black with white spots. There are three immature stages that are black and white, with the fourth stage being more red, black, and white before becoming adults later on in the summer. So as you're out and about in your backyard, you may want to be on the lookout for spotted lanternfly nymphs. Well, also as you're out and about, you may want to keep an eye, as now is a beautiful time of the spring when different things are blooming and in color. We've got a lot of purples, hot pinks, different things like that. A lot of magnolias have already bloomed and have moved on, but those are always very interesting. Eastern redbuds have a lot of color this time of year, and depending on where you're at in the state, those may still be blooming and get your attention. Common lilacs are also blooming in a lot of areas, so not only are they very fragrant, but also put a lot of color out there, as do some of the spice viburnums. Those are neat things to see with the different color shades they have. And of course, crab apples, a popular tree a lot of folks have in their yard, with the different colored flowers that come on those, whether it's anywhere from a white to a purplish color. Hyacinths, creeping cherries, even if you're talking about weeds, some of the purple dead nettle and henbit are blooming this time of year. Now, the weeds aren't something we necessarily like to see out there, but they do add a splash of color to the landscape. Well, changing directions just a little bit, if you raise strawberries, Ohio State's state fruit pathologist and fresh produce safety specialist Melanie Ivy recently posted a guide for disease management in home strawberry plantings. You can find that online. It's a great guide. They also have them for home apples and great disease management as well. Disease management in home strawberry plantings includes highlighting site selection, preparation, variety selection, mulching, sanitation, synthetic chemicals, and also biopesticides. They talk about fruit rots such as botrytis, gray mold, leather rot, and anthracnose fruit rot. Some of the diseases like angular leaf spot, leaf scorch, leaf blight, and powdery mildew. Some crown and root diseases such as black root rot, phytophthora crown and root rot, and verticillium wilt and anthracnose crown rot. And some of the common injuries that occur, as well as tip burn, some calcium deficiencies, and cold injuries such as poor pollination and even herbicide injury. So if you're raising strawberries in your garden, this is a good one you want to make sure you take a look at, so you give those plants the best chance they have. As we said, there's also other guides covering apples and grape disease, so good things to look at online. Probably easiest to find by Googling Ohio State and then home strawberry plantings. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk about avocados, of all things, as USDA's latest look at avocados reveals trends that point towards growing consumer interest. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
What the guac? An increase in domestic avocado production and consumer interest? USDA economist Catherine Weber notes from the latest Fruit and Tree Nut Outlook.
The California Avocado Commission estimates that California will produce 375 million pounds of avocados in marketing year 2024-2025. This is up 3% from last season.
44% above the three-year average. If realized,
this California avocado crop would be the third largest in the last decade. California produces approximately 90% of the avocados grown in the U.S. each year, most of which are Haas and Haas-like avocado varieties.
Net U.S. production,
which is domestic production minus exports, represents about 10% of fresh avocado availability in the United States, with imports accounting for the remainder. About 90% of fresh avocado imports to the United States are from Mexico. We import avocados from Mexico year-round, but volume volumes decrease seasonally during the summer, which is when California avocado shipments tend to peak.
Weber adds California growers are reporting elevated prices for avocados, particularly for larger size produce.
On a pound-for-pound basis, larger avocados receive higher prices than smaller size fruit. But an interesting trend in recent years is a shift towards more medium and sized avocados. As an example, the Mexican Haas Avocado Import Association reported season-to-date shipments of larger fruit to the United States accounted for 41% of volume. That's compared to about 70% from a decade ago.
Giving consumers something to think about when they purchase avocados from their local retailer or supermarket.
Are you going to go for the small size avocados in the bags? Are you going to do like a medium size avocado?
As far as why consumer interest in avocados has grown in recent years,
imports have really driven the increase in per capita availability, which is a proxy for consumption of avocados in the United States. In the early 2000s, per capita availability was estimated at around 2.5 pounds per person. And in the last three seasons, it's averaged around 9 pounds per person.
What's in store for the U.S. avocado industry as the summer months approach? Catherine Weber says California avocado shipments measured in early March were up from the previous four-year historical average. The early start to the shipping season could mean domestic avocado shipments most likely would wind down earlier than normal, sometime around the late summer. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.